Thank you, Sam, and thank all of you for being here tonight. It certainly is great to see everyone. Are y'all a little warm in here tonight? Is it too hot? Well, just wait till I get through. Is it really too hot in here tonight? Everybody's okay? Okay. Okay, we assume you're all right then. Don't worry about it. That's our topic tonight. We do appreciate your being here. If you're visiting with us, we certainly thank you for coming. You know, worry is something that is common to each and every one of us, I think. We don't like to admit that we worry, but we do worry. We worry about a lot of things in life. And we like to call it concern, but sometimes our concern turns into worry. But how do you learn to overcome this thing of worry and anxiety and enjoy life in a better way? Well, I want to talk to you tonight about how to do that. I would tell you, beginning tonight, or first of all, that people worry about certain things that are common to us all. People worry. As a matter of fact, all of these begin with the letter F, and this will be easy for you to remember and digest and take home with you. People worry about finances. How many of you are worried about your finances tonight? Nobody? Remember that when we pass the hat tonight. Now, nobody is worried about your finances. Well, most people are. And if you watch the news, you read the daily paper, you'll recognize that people are extremely disturbed and worried and anxious about finances. People are concerned already, talking about whether or not their taxes are going to go up January the 1st. And they're hoping that Congress and our president can resolve the issues that perhaps will affect our finances in the coming year. Turn, if you will, tonight in your Bible to the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter and verse 25. Jesus said, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, for what you shall eat, nor yet what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body the raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, and neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God can so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow it is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth what things you have need of, even before you ask, and he knows you need all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. And take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Now, in this particular text, Jesus is telling us that there are things that are common to all of us, things that we worry about. We worry about our finances, but we also worry about food. That's why Jesus says, don't be so anxious about tomorrow, what you're going to eat. But then people are often worried about their fitness. How many of you would say that you're physically fit tonight? Nobody. Well, we've got a good captive audience for this one. Nobody. Huh? Except me. No. You know, we do. We worry about our body. We know what we often do. I hear people say, well, I just can't wait till January the 1st to get here so I can get back on my exercise program and on my diet. Well, what about right now? People worry about their fitness. People worry about getting old. People worry about their body. I read a thing the other day entitled, "If My Body Were a Car." Think about this one. If my body were a car, this is the time I would think about trading it in for a newer model. Maybe you feel that way. I've got bumps and dents and scratches in my finish, and my paint job is getting a little dull. But that's not the worst of it. My headlights are out of focus, and it's especially hard to see things up close. Isn't that right, Dwayne? My traction is not as graceful as it once was. I slip and slide and skid and bump into things even in the best of weather. My white walls are stained with varicose veins. It takes me hours to reach my maximum speed, and my fuel rate burns inefficiently. We worry about fitness, the body. That's what Christ is saying here. Don't worry about the body. But we worry about fashion. How many of you ladies got up this morning? I can assure you, probably some of you did. And you went to the closet and you said those infamous words, "Honey, I don't have a thing to wear." Is that right? Don't raise your hand. Jesus says, don't worry what you're going to put on. And then we worry about our future. Jesus said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know, people are so concerned about their fitness that they worry about so many, many things. I heard Paul Harvey say one time, a number of years ago, he knew this man one time who wanted to look young, and he was so desirous of it that he put braces on his false teeth. Now, that's pretty bad, folks. Well, how do you overcome worry? Let me deal with that right now. We need to, first of all, admit the sinfulness of worry. Is it really a sin to worry? Is it really? Does God really get troubled with us when we sin? I believe that he does. Jesus gives us that command not to worry, but many of us are guilty oftentimes in our lives of worrying about things. You ever notice many of the things that we worry about we have no control over? Most of them are. And many of the things that we worry about never ever come to pass. Many of the things that we worry about have already taken place, and again, we are powerless to do anything at all about it. The Greek word for worry here, or taking no thought for, actually means to divide the mind. Isn't it interesting sometimes how we can be thinking about good things and we can be in a good mood and just suddenly we go into this worry and frustration about things that are going on in life. When we worry, we break that commandment of God and we sin. Now, Jesus uses this word here for worry or take no thought for, this idea, twice in this sixth chapter of the book of Matthew. He uses it, first of all, in verse 25. And in that particular text, the verb in the Greek means to stop worrying. That is, if you are worrying, quit worrying. And then down in verse 34, he uses it again when he says, take no thought for it, don't worry. But what he's saying is that if you are not worrying, don't you even start. Have you ever been around people that worry a lot? I have. I get around people sometimes that worry because they have nothing to worry about. I had a cousin like that one time. She just knew it, there was always going to be something bad happening. And she was kind of like that lady I knew one time that said that she felt bad because she felt good for fear that she'd feel worse when she felt better. Well, you've known people like that. I have too. David Livingston, who was a great missionary in Africa, once made this statement. He said it really wasn't the elephants that disturbed him, and it wasn't the tornadoes, but it was the termites that they were worried about, the little things. Most of us worry about little things in life. And if you would be honest about worrying about your finances, most people really do. A woman one time called the dean of a university and told him that her freshman son was going to begin there that fall. And she said, I'm real worried, she said. I don't know who my son can hang out with. He doesn't have the kind of money that all the other students have. And the dean replied, well, he can hang out with the faculty. Believe it or not, that probably was true. Well, again, we worry. But we have to admit the sinfulness of worry. But then, secondly, there's another thing that we need to do. And that is to acknowledge the senselessness of worry. Someone said that worry will, you know, kind of give you something to do. It's kind of like getting in a rocking chair and moving back and forth. But it really doesn't get you anywhere. Nothing is really accomplished. And I want you to notice what Christ said to do when you are tempted to worry. He said, you go outside and you look at the birds. That's what he said, didn't he? If you go back to that sixth chapter of the book of Matthew, you will find where Jesus said, let me tell you about the birds and how Christ or how God feeds them. And he says, are ye not much better than they, O ye of little faith? So if you're prone to worry, go look at the birds. I've never seen a bird die from heart disease. Have you? I've never seen one die from hypertension. I've never even seen a bird that had ulcers. Have you? Not a one. They know that God is going to take care of them. Most birds I've ever seen are healthy and happy. I mean, they go around singing all the time, you know, just fluttering their wings all over. But many of us have high blood pressure today. Many have heart disease. Many have ulcers in their stomach because of worry and anxiety. So the person that said to you that worry is for the birds, you better stop and think about that. Birds do not worry. They do not. But we are often guilty in our life of worrying about a lot of things. Worry is fruitless. It will not add anything at all to your life. Not all. You cannot add a pound to your body. Now, most people are trying to shed pounds, but I've known of a few people in my life who'd like to weigh a little bit more than they do. But worry will not add 1 pound to your body. And it will not even take it away. It will not add 1 inch to your height. I've seen people who have always been a little unhappy about the fact that they are short. And, you know, they'd like to be taller, but you know what? Worrying about it will not bring it to pass. It isn't going to happen. It will not add a second to your life. Some people worry about the fact that they may die. Get ready for it, folks. It's going to happen to all of us. For the book of Hebrews 9 and verse 27 says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the coming judgment of God. Job in the 14th chapter of the book of Job said that man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. It is going to come. Worry empties today of its strength, and it pulls tomorrow's clouds over today's sunshine. It does. You want to worry tonight? Let me tell you what you can worry about and what you should never worry about. You should never worry about things that you cannot change. And you should never, ever worry about things that you can. Because if you can change things, then change them. But many of us go through life sometimes frustrated about what's going on in life. And, we just worry so much about a lot of things. People are troubled today. You know, I'll be honest with you. I don't know that I've ever seen our country in more of a state of unrest and worry and anxiety. You watch the evening news. Pick up the newspaper. I mean, people are really troubled about what's going on. I hear people every day make this statement. I don't know what our country's coming to. You know what? It isn't what this world is coming to. It is about who came into the world, and that is Jesus. And he came into the world to get rid of your worry and your anxiety. Good to see Scott Cheshner out here tonight, the world's greatest weatherman. My dear friend and his wife are here tonight visiting. He is the chief meteorologist over to NBC 56 in town. You probably used to see him on NBC 5 out of Dallas also. And we talked this morning. I'm glad you're here, Scott. Appreciate y'all coming over. And what I'm going to share here, the reason I said that is to preface what I'm going to say right now. And maybe you can help me with this. But I read not long ago that an 8-ounce glass of water, now just think about this, an 8-ounce glass of water equals the amount of a fog that would cover 5 city blocks. Now think about that. Isn't that amazing? We let little things in life disturb our peace of mind. That's why Paul would write to the Philippian church and he says, be anxious in nothing. Be anxious, not in a few things, none, he says. But by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Worry is foolish, and it will rob your joy. Jesus says, I want you to do another thing. He says, I want you to look at flowers. If just looking at birds doesn't do it for you, he says, let me tell you about the flower. And he points out the lily of the field, which is a very beautiful flower. And he says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, and neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now think about this a minute. A flower. Have you ever taken the petal of a rose and put it under a microscope? You will see a design of God that you cannot match anywhere. And it is amazing. It is amazing. You know, all these people say, well, I just can't believe in God. Unless God would suddenly appear or all these kinds of things. That's kind of nonsense, really. I mean, I see God all around me every day. David said that the heavens declare the glory of God and the earth showeth forth his handiwork. We see God every day in our lives, don't we? We should. Now, these people, these atheists over in Dallas and Fort Worth, you know, who have these signs on their bus, you've been reading about that? On the evening news, that troubles a lot of people. You know what? It really doesn't trouble me so much. Let me tell you why. Because God is still in control, and God is still good, and we are still good because of God. It doesn't make any difference what they say. I got to thinking something the other day. Just kind of a little thought that came to me, and I was sharing it with our ladies' class on Tuesday. If you were to take the word good, now consider this just a minute. Take the word good, and they say, you know, people can be good without God. Just take the word good and take the word God out of it, what do you have? A big fat zero, folks. Now, Jesus said there is one good, and that is God. Now, that just tells me that the only way that you and I can possibly be good is with God. But when you worry, what you are saying unto God is that you cannot handle my problem. You know the best antidote to worry? You know what it is? It's prayer. It is praying about it. Sometimes people entrench themselves in so much debt that it robs their joy. There was a man one time who walked into a Christian bookstore, and a man in front of him asked the clerk about a display of hats. And on those hats, it had the letters WWJD on them, okay? And the clerk explained that the WWJD stood for What Would Jesus Do? And that the idea is to get people to consider the question, what would Jesus do when making decisions? And the man pondered for a moment, and then he replied, he said, I don't think Jesus would pay $17.95 for that hat. Worry. That brings me to point number three. First of all, recognize the sinfulness of it. But then we need to apply the steadfastness of our relationship to God with worry. If you read verse 31 through 33, Jesus says, look one way at a time, and take one day at a time. Christy Lane, recording artist a number of years ago, sang that song, One Day at a Time. Very beautiful song. But in that song, she was talking about the fact that you and I should live our lives one day at a time. That's hard to do, isn't it? Because we're such busy folk. And we're always thinking about what we're going to have to do tomorrow, that we lose sight of what we need to do today. And we're already thinking about next week and next month, the month of January, and then the new year. We're already thinking about what we've got to accomplish. But we need to put first things first. That's what Christ said, didn't he? And we need to look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Many of us attempt to run our lives by ourselves. The great antidote to worry is prayer. It is. I knew a man one time, and he honestly would say this, and I'd say, well, how are you doing? He said, well, I'm doing great. He said, I prayed this morning. And I said, that's great. And he said, I said, is everything going all right? He said, I'm not worried about a thing. And I said, that's wonderful. And he said, God is still in control. He said, I prayed this morning. I turned it all over to God. And you know what? I thought, isn't that the way that we should all live our lives every day? Turning it over to God. Peter said to cast your cares on him, for he careth for you. I think I told you the story about a cowboy one time who went into a Western shop. And he wanted to buy, he walked up to the counter and he told the proprietor, he said, look, I'd like to buy a spur. He said, wait a minute, fella. He said, you want to buy a spur? He said, yes, that's right. He said, I want to buy a spur. He said, that doesn't make sense. He said, yes, it does. He says, if I can get one side of that horse going, the other side will keep up. Well, believe it or not, that's true in life, isn't it? We should live one day at a time. Every day. Every day. But many of us will awaken in the morning to see the dawn of a new day. And we will worry. And we will be frustrated about the events of the day. There was a Harris poll made not long ago that said one-third, consider this, one-third of the American people worry because they think they do not have enough health insurance. Now think about this for a minute. A third of the American people, and they're troubled about that in Washington too, and that's why they passed what they call a health care agenda, like it or not, may be repealed after the first of the year, who knows. But the idea is that the escalating cost of health concerns and medication and hospitals and doctors have resulted in all these changes that are taking place in Washington, good, bad, or indifferent. And people are worried about it. They're worried about their future. They're worried about health insurance. One third. But in that same Harris poll, the question was asked, how many of you are worried about going to hell? And only 10% said they were worried about going to hell. That astounds me that people are more concerned about this life and the things that are going on in this life than they are about the life that is yet to come. You know, I'm thankful tonight that my worries have abated, and I mean that honestly. Do I have things that concern me from time to time? Obviously. But to sit and wring my hands in worry and frustration about things that are going on in this world, folks, no more. I learned that lesson a long time ago. I learned what it can do to your heart about 12 years ago. I learned what it can do to your body. I learned what it could do to your mental attitude. And I learned what it could do to people you live with. And I gave it up. And I believe that's what Christ is asking each of us to do tonight, is to lay our cares on him, for he cares for us. And isn't it amazing in that beautiful chapter of Matthew chapter 6, Christ is saying it over and over again. Trust me. The book of Proverbs chapter 6 says to trust in the Lord with all of thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding, but in all of thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. And I lean upon him to direct my path tonight, and I hope you do too. Sam has selected a song of encouragement that we're going to be singing just in a moment. And if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian and perhaps you've been trusting in the world and you've been very anxious and troubled about a lot of things, and maybe you're like Martha in the New Testament when Jesus came to that little community of Bethany and she was concerned about the fact that Mary was not assisting her with the daily chores and things of life, and yet Mary had rushed out to fall at the feet of her Savior, and Jesus said unto Martha, you're careful and troubled about many things. Sometimes I wonder if God does not say that to us. When we rush about, and instead of praying to God and asking him to deliver us from all of our anxiety, we too are careful and troubled about a lot of things that God can take care of. He can. Our God's a big God. And he invites us to come to him tonight while we stand and while we sing.